We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in Turn on the News, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
There's good news.
These are dangerous times.
You said, told me love was too plebeian, told me you were through with me, and now you say you love me. Well, just to prove you do, come on and cry me a river. Cry me a river, I cried a river over you.
In an interview, Donald Trump claimed that New York police and court employees were crying when they arrested him. Why is everyone in Trump's stories always crying?
People came to me and they saw me and they were crying.
Very tough, very strong, very powerful men, they were crying.
And they had tears in their eyes.
And they were all crying. Everybody was crying.
People were crying.
They were crying.
And these are people that didn't cry when they were babies. They would never cried in their life, and they were crying. A lot of them were crying.
So you're bragging that when people see you, they just, like, burst into tears? Because it never sounds like excited crying, like when teenagers see, like, BTS. It sounds more like scared crying, like when hostages see Jigsaw.
This DA's office prosecutes this crime all the time. This is a mundane business records crime that is not uncommon, and it's not uncommon from this prosecutor.
Oh, it's just a normal indictment charging Donald J. Trump with 34 felony counts of falsifying business records, or to translate that into jaded news-ish.
Do you see anything new in there today that you didn't know?
No, in fact, it's kind of expected that there would be less than people would want to read.
People felt it was a little underwhelming.
Some found it disappointing.
It depressed some people on the left.
Oh, were you disappointed? Were you depressed? Here's why. Because you treated this like the final confrontation with Thanos, and then it actually just played out like what it was, a boring legal procedure at the very beginning of what will be a long, drawn-out, laborious legal process, because as I mentioned earlier, law is boring as shit. But please continue being let down by the expectations you motherfucking created.
This is one of the most historic cases, arguably the most significant case right now in the American court system. It appears to be built on a pretty shaky foundation.
It's a bubble case. It's not a slam dunk.
Commentators across the spectrum are saying, boy, there's really not much in here. Raises all kinds of questions about the legal theory behind this case. An unimpressive document.
Right, because it's not the trial. You're thinking of the trial part. It's like if you look at a recipe for Apple Brown Betty and go, butter, apple, cinnamon, I don't know, I'm underwhelmed. This isn't delicious at all. Yeah, because it's paper. It's the recipe. It's not the game, it's the roster. And by the way, only our media, those cloistered, short attention span, own ass spelunking. No? Defenders of democracy. Find a president paying hush money to a Playboy model and an adult film star and then cooking the books to help himself win an election. Underwhelming and boring.
Our former president is in his happy place, appearing on Fox News. Last night, the former sat down with Tucker Carlson, who, thanks to revelations from the Dominion lawsuit, we now know hates the president passionately, privately texting that he's a demonic force. Harsh, accurate words. But let's see how Tucker referred to the demon last night.
For a man who is caricatured as an extremist, we think you'll find what he has to say moderate, sensible, and wise.
That is an impressive flip-flop. Many caricature Cthulhu as pre-Euclidean monstrosity that emerges from the briny deep to devour man's mind, but I think you'll find his face tentacles are quite moderate, and he has a chance to bring America together in his cartilaginous maw of madness.
A complicated man.
Through phones and stuff.
It's good.
Sharp reader of the national mood.
He's a bit racist.
Well, then he was very much a man of his era.
Again, racist.
Mm-hmm.
Also relaxed about sexual assault.
Business genius.
Never paid a penny in U.S. tax.
Oh, that's...
Boom.
Yeah. Well connected.
Well connected. Now, that's not fair. I feel like well connected is generally accepted to be a euphemism for pedophile, and no one ever suggested that he would, you know...
a child.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wouldn't even hug his grandkids.
The ex-president rambled about a lot of subjects, like the withdrawal from Afghanistan. He attacked Biden's decision-making. And then he unveiled a brand-new military advisor.
I did a little skit with a 5-year-old kid. I said, let me ask you, here's the situation. I explained the situation. I said, Would you take the military out first, or would you take it out last? I take it out last. 5-year-old.
Totally. Totally normal conversation to have with a 5-year-old. We've all had them. Yeah. We've all had those conversations. Reminds me of that famous Dr. Seuss book, One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish. Why didn't Johnson see the Tet Offensive coming? He also harped on the dangers of nuclear proliferation, or as he wisely put it,
the biggest problem we have in the whole world, it's not global warming, it's nuclear warming.
The Biden people know the power of nuclear weapons. They now control our arsenal. They don't seem worried about this.
That's because they don't understand life. They don't understand whatever it is that you have to understand.
That is a broad... It's a broad, fairly all-encompassing philosophy. It goes all the way back to the words of René Descartes, I think, therefore I understand whatever it is I have to think.
Trump covered everything from World War III, which he seems to be rooting for, to wanting to take the president of China to a Broadway show. And also, he, as he often does, managed to shoe in some thoughts about the N-word.
You don't mention, I call it the N-word. You have two N-words. You don't mention either one of them.
Okay, that's good to know. Go on.
I'm talking about nuclear. Nuclear, 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 nuclear. I never mentioned the word nuclear. You never heard me mention the word.
Yeah, except for 400 times in the last minute and a half.
Nobody talks about nuclear. The problem we have, the biggest problem we have in the whole world, it's not global warming. It's nuclear warming.
What is this batty old man talking about, nuclear warming? You think he means nuclear warming? Maybe the reason nobody's talking about nuclear warming is because, what the hell are you talking about? I did a Google search for nuclear warming. There were 1,200 results, and the top one was a song on Spotify by a band called The Transplendent, which was actually pretty good. But the reason nobody's talking about nuclear warming is because that's not a thing. This interview was terrible. Not once did Tucker stop and say, huh? But it did make one thing very clear. The fact that Donald Trump is a profoundly stupid person, I think it's important to remember that. He does not have the best words. He is not a stable genius. That mental competency test, he's always bragging that he passed. This is something the average 7-year-old could pass, okay? At one point, this horny old goat felt it important to explain how good-looking the Chinese interpreter was.
So when I dealt with President Xi, I was with him the whole weekend. He had an incredible, I'm not allowed to say it because it's very impolite and very politically incorrect, a beautiful female interpreter. She was very beautiful. Today, if you say it, they'll say, this is terrible. You're not allowed to say that. But she was very professional. She spoke every word for him. Very professional.
Yeah, well, that's what interpreters do. They speak every word for the person professionally. Putin did this to him, too. He brought on an attractive interpreter. That's all you have to do, get a hot interpreter. Trump starts lifting sanctions like they're potato chips. And Tucker Carlson just sits there like a doofus. He never interjects. He's like, oh, how hot was she? I mean, he's terrified because 3 weeks ago we found out he'd been texting his coworkers about Trump saying, I hate him passionately. He's a demonic force. He's a destroyer. He's not going to destroy us. I've been thinking about this every day for 4 years. And then after thinking about it for 4 years, Tuck sat down with the demonic force and slobbered all over his Christmas ornaments. Tucker Carlson asked Trump if being arrested would mean he'd pull out of the race. Trump said it wouldn't. And I believe pulling out is not Donald Trump's thing. Donald Trump is in, you're not going to believe this, he was in court today. Yeah, he's in court in New York to be deposed in one of the 70 or 80 cases against him. Before his deposition, his little thumbs took a trip to Truth Social to lash out at Letitia James, the New York Attorney General, who has accused him of fraud. He wrote, I will be heading downtown to meet with a racist who leaked that I would be there at 9:30 a.m. Trump's upset because usually when he meets racists, they do it at home at Mar-a-Lago. But this case is one of many Trump is facing. Trump now has more active cases in New York than COVID does. We also got some insight into what's going on with the special counsel. You know, that's like the big one. They're now said to be looking at Trump's attempts to fundraise off of his false election fraud claims, and they're asking witnesses about Trump's handling of a map that had classified information on it. He was reportedly showing a classified map around to people who didn't have security clearance, like a big orange Dora the Explorer or something. And showing a classified map is specifically mentioned in as a violation of laws against espionage, which is punishable by up to 10 years in prison. I really think at this point, the only crime Trump hasn't been charged with is aiming a laser pointer at an aircraft, because he's covered everything. Yesterday, Trump filed a lawsuit against his lawyer, his former lawyer, Michael Cohen. He's suing Cohen for $500 million for allegedly breaching the terms of their NDA. And this is how it goes when you work for Donald Trump. You handle his business for how many years, I don't know. Then he asks you to pay off his mistress. You take out a home equity line of credit to get the money. You pay the mistress the money. You lie for him. You serve 3 years in federal prison for lying for him. And then when you get out, he sues you for $500 million. It's the circle jerk of life. Donald Trump did something miraculous this weekend. He filed a financial disclosure report. You know those things you have to file when you're running for office? He actually filed one. He did it at the last minute. He did it after a number of warnings and extensions, but he did do it, and we gathered some interesting information from that filing, including the fact that Trump got $5 million from a deal with a Saudi developer and the Omani government to build a golf resort in Oman, which makes sense in case he has to flee there someday. He also earned millions from something called CIC Ventures, which CIC stands for Commander-in-Chief Ventures. This is the entity that handles the money he makes from live performances and rally events. You know he makes money from those. People paid between $50 and $4,000 to hear him ranting and raving about witch hunts and regulation. Like, he basically sells tickets to Drama Queen Story Hour. And he's also collecting a six-figure annual pension from the Actors Union, SAG-AFTRA. The guy who hates Hollywood is on the same retirement plan as Vanessa from The Cosby Show. And you remember those Trump NFTs? Well, the hucksters who made them, they predicted $100 million in sales. So far, according to Trump, they've only sold $6 million, which surprises me because they're so great. There's also a big new income stream for Melania Trump, who made between $1 and $5 million from her deal with the right-wing social media platform, Parler. You know things are bad at home when you own a conservative social media company and your wife's main source of income is the other conservative social media company. Trump made, and at first I thought this was a typo, but it isn't. He says he made $201 from Truth Social. Not $201 million or $201,000, $201, like less than he would have made if he started a lemonade stand outside Mar-a-Lago. You know, he's constantly bragging about how well Truth Social is performing. And, well, you're not going to believe this. Turns out that's not actually true. According to a company that independently measures web traffic, his website right now is the 10,953rd most visited site in the world. Give you some context. That is behind, first of all, the other social media sites. Facebook's the number three most visited in the world. Twitter is number five. Reddit is number 19. Truth Social, not only is it far behind its competitors, it's more than 1,000 spots behind Arby's.com, okay? It's over 5,000 spots behind his other favorite website, KFC.com, and almost 8,000 spots behind WikiFeet, a foot fetish website. Is much more popular than Truth Social. And this has got to be a real shot to the gut. Trump's feet on WikiFeet, they're only rated 1.2 out of 5 stars. Which is sad. It's sad. His feet have a lower approval rating than his presidency.
You know, ever since leaving the White House 2 years ago, we've heard very little from former First Lady Melania. But lately, her name's been back in the news, though mostly just her name, because she was notably absent from both her husband's arraignment in New York as well as from his speech that night at Mar-a-Lago. And reports say that Melania has been so reluctant to re-enter public life that the former president had to beg her to be seen in public with him. You know it's serious. Usually, he only begs for 11,000 more votes in Georgia. But on Easter, Sunday, she did finally make an appearance with the ex-president, having a very public brunch with him at Mar-a-Lago. It's an Easter miracle. The marriage has risen, or the check has cleared. Their table was roped off, but it's unclear if that was to keep people away or to prevent her from fleeing. Now, there are conflicting reports out there about how supportive Melania intends to be toward her husband during his legal fights and re-election campaign. One insider claims Melania is not now or hasn't recently taken part in her husband's political events. It's not comfortable for her. Meanwhile, another source says they had a major talk and she has agreed to be on board. Now, it seems contradictory unless they mean on board a plane back to Slovenia. So, here's the thing. Will Melania be standing by her husband, and will she start appearing in public again? Here to tell us in public, live from Mar-a-Lago, is the former First Lady. Thank you so much. It's great to see you again, Madam First Lady. How have you been the last 2 years?
Oh, I have never been best better, Stephen. You can see how happy I am from the smile on my face.
Okay, so you've been enjoying life outside the White House?
Absolutely. It is so good to get away from Washington and get back to normal life, spending time with my family, enjoying roped-off brunches at my live-in golf prison, and disposing of top-secret documents.
That looks fibrous.
Mm. You can really taste the national security.
Now, Madam First Lady, I know the topic may be just a little sensitive, but I have to ask you about your husband's arrest.
Oh, Stephen, I just hate hearing that word.
Arrest?
No, husband.
Well, all right. But to that point, some people think that you were not appearing in New York during your husband's arraignment, that was a sign that you don't support him in his legal fight.
Lie, Stephen. Why would I want to be around all those glamorous New Yorkers when I can be down here watching retired orthodontists play pickleball?
Well, okay, but then why didn't you attend the event he had right down there at Mar-a-Lago?
I was there, Stephen, but nobody saw me because, during his speech, I happened to be in the bathroom.
But you were using the bathroom for the entirety of his 30-minute speech?
What? If he can spend half an hour spewing, then so can I. Up top.
Moving on. This case must be difficult for you, Madam First Lady, since it involves your husband's affair with Stormy Daniels. Mm. How do you feel about her?
Honestly, I feel bad for that woman, Stormy Daniels. I know what she has been through. Worst 90 seconds of your life.
But still, having your husband get arrested must have been pretty stressful for you.
Oh, so stressful. To stay calm, I have had to practice mindful breathing exercises. Inhale, exhale.
Madam First Lady, reading between the lines here, I get the impression that you are not supporting your husband through his legal issues and re-election campaign.
What? No, Stephen. No, what? And furthermore, what? No!
But so we can expect to see you out campaigning for him during this election cycle?
Oh, absolutely. We will be going to all the battleground states. When he goes to Iowa, I go to New Hampshire. When he goes to New Hampshire, I go to Pennsylvania.
And if he goes to jail?
I go to Vegas, baby. Come on! Mama needs a new pair of stilettos!
The news. Turn out! Turn preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.